Thank you so much for being here this evening. We're really happy for your presence. We've got folks visiting with us from a number of places, as already been stated, and we are indeed grateful and thankful for your presence. Glad you're here. A number of folks that are here, a number of preachers that are here, and glad to see each of you that are here. And a long time ago, when I first started preaching, when preachers would come, when I was preaching, it really, really made me nervous. And finally, an older fellow told me one time, he says, you know, you can't make a preacher unhappy when you're up preaching. I said, how's that? He said, well, he said, there'll be those that when you start preaching, they'll say, wow, that's a great lesson. I'm going to write that down and preach it Sunday. You make them happy. Then the rest of them will say, after you start preaching, they'll say, man, that guy's not any good at all. I'm a lot better than him. And they'll feel a lot better after they leave. So I'm glad these preachers are here. You'll feel a lot better after you leave. But also, there are folks here who are visiting with us that are not members of the body of Christ. And we're thankful for your presence. We're glad that you've come. And we hope you brought your Bibles, that you'll study with us from God's Word. And certainly, if you have any question, anything whatsoever that I might say, something that is practiced or done here that you have a question about, I would be glad to talk with you, Brother Steve, the elders here. Please, don't hesitate to talk to us about your concerns or your questions. We're glad that you're here. I appreciate so very, very much being able to be with the church here at Eastside this week. It's been a very good week for me. It's been one of those kind of meetings that you can't get into any trouble. You don't have time. It's a lot of preaching, a lot of teaching, a lot of visiting folks, and been a host of people extend hospitality to me. And I appreciate that so very, very much. And I just can't express enough how much I appreciate all of you and your kindness, and also all the encouragement that you have given me through the week in both the morning and the evening lessons. We thank you so very, very much. I hope that I have just been able to encourage you just a small amount of what you have encouraged me, and I appreciate you very much. We have been talking this week in the evening about the Word of His grace. And we've used this passage to kind of springboard us into a number of topics that I hope has been encouraging to you, helpful to you. And tonight, again, we'll look at this passage. Now I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Tonight, we want to concentrate on this idea of that which is able to build you up. I think for the majority of us as Christians, we already know that when we get down, when we get discouraged, we must turn to our God. He is a gracious God, and He is a loving God, and He is a kind God. And it is through His Word we can be lifted up. We can be encouraged to keep on keeping on. I want to talk to you tonight about how the Word ultimately can help us, how we can help each other to keep on keeping on. Whoever you are as a Christian, there are times that you get discouraged. There are times that you maybe even ask the question, what's the use? And lots of different things can attack us. But when you go to God's Word, the Word of His grace, and if you spend any amount of time in His book, you will soon learn that yes, it's worth it. Don't give up. So this evening, I would really like to talk to you a little bit about the idea about never giving up. Now, my guess is that for us older ones, we have felt like that frog a time or two. Maybe kind of on the last leg. And we're just hanging on as best we can to keep from it all ending. But I would like to encourage us all that one of the great things about Scripture is that it will encourage you to never give up. We must keep fighting. So tonight I want to talk to you a little bit about discouragement. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalms 55. And this passage may be very familiar to you. In Psalms 55, beginning at verse 1, listen to the words. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide thyself from my supplication. Give heed to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint, and I am surely distracted. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the pressure of the wicked, and they bring down trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. And my heart is in anguish within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. If you live life long enough, you will get discouraged. Life throws at you all sorts of curves. And when we read this passage, it is obvious that the psalmist has gotten discouraged and wanted to give up. Everybody gets discouraged. I would like to say that again. Everybody gets discouraged. And invariably, there'll be someone that'll come up after services and they'll say to me, Oh, Brother Sully, I never get discouraged. Let me just go ahead and head that off at the pass. I don't believe you. I think we all get discouraged at times. We find here that David was discouraged. When you read the book of Job, Job got discouraged. Even Jesus Christ Himself, when we read the text, He was discouraged. And as we think about that, I'm sure that as Christians, we may even have folks here tonight that have given up. Maybe in the past, you quit. You stopped serving the Lord. You gave up. Now you're back. Maybe there's someone here that's been out and back and back and out numerous times. You know, it happens to all of us. I want to talk to you a little bit about this idea of discouragement and just try as best I can to encourage you and talk to you a little bit about how we can be encouraged. When we look at the idea of discouragement, there are a couple of sources of discouragement. There are some non-sinful sources. It may be that you're sick. Sickness, prolonged sickness, something that cannot be cured, you have to deal with it. Over a long period of time, can be very discouraging to people. Obviously, death can be very discouraging. Not just today, but every day. People suffer death. Those that are still living, they suffer the pain, they suffer the loss, and they suffer the loneliness. It's discouraging. We also find that discouragement comes from family. Husband and wife, they take one another for better or worse, and after a short period of time sometimes, they turn out to be a lot worse than they took them for. And it's discouraging. And you got to adjust and readjust and work through that. Or you can just give up and get a divorce. What does God's Word teach about that? Until death. Financial situations in the last few years. Obviously, a lot of Christians have learned what the Lord said. Don't store up for yourself treasures on earth. That's not going to last. And ultimately, It's not where it's at. There's no telling how many Christians in the last few years have lost their 401ks, have lost their IRAs, have lost homes, lost all sorts of things. It's discouraging. There's some Christians in some places that can't buy a job. It's tough. Sometimes brethren are sources of discouragement. We mean to be good. We mean to encourage. But we wind up discouraging people. We don't mean to do that. We go to visit somebody in the hospital and the person we're visiting, we're there to encourage them, to lift them up. And we find out that they have ABC disease. And then we go, oh no, my brother had that and he died. Well, you know, why did we go there? We went there to encourage them. And then we say the wrong thing. And sometimes even as Christians, at worship services, you know, we don't say the things that we ought to say to encourage people. And we're not trying to hurt them or offend them, but it just kind of comes out that way. You know, someone has been missing for a while and they show up and we see them. We're so glad to see them. And then we come up and we want to encourage them and we tell them, you know, you look awful. Have you been sick? Well, that's not exactly what someone wants to hear. Discouragement comes. Lots of different sources. But there's also a sinful source of discouragement. And when we read the Scripture, we find that shame and guilt are a consequence or a result of our sins. So we can be discouraged, we can feel shame, we can feel guilt because of how we've lived our lives. We've sinned against God in some way. In the book of Genesis, chapter 4, there's an interesting text there that I'd like to read to you. In chapter 4 of Genesis, beginning at verse 5, notice the reading. Genesis chapter 4, beginning at verse 5. But for Cain and for his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? I'm not really great or good in the Hebrew or English either, but what I understand, the countenance word, as best they can determine, has to do with the way your face looks. And it's kind of like the idea of the face dropping. And it's the idea of becoming a sad face. My dad used to really just ridicule me whenever I was pouting. Or I would be, you know, mad about something. He would always tell me to get my lip off the ground. I never thought it was on the ground, but he would say that to me. Well, God says, why has your countenance fallen? Why has your face dropped? And the Scripture says, and if you do not do well, sin is... Well, wait a minute, I skipped the verse. I skipped the part of it here. Let me get back here. Why has your countenance... Verse 6. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why has your countenance fallen? Verse 7. If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you. But you must master it. Great words there to simply say, if you do the right thing, won't you have a happy face? If you do the wrong thing, you need to master it. You need to overcome that. Tonight, I would like to suggest to all of us that at some point in time we get discouraged. And it may be from non-sinful sources and really not much we can do about or control any of that. Sometimes we're discouraged because of things that we do that are wrong. We need to master that and not allow it to overcome us. Because discouragement can, if not handled correctly, destroy you. When we think about this idea of discouragement, let's just kind of start from the basis. Okay, We've all gotten discouraged. Now what? What do we do now? Some try to run away. We read a moment ago in Psalms 55. You remember that David said, if I had the wings of a dove, I would just fly away. Well, there are a lot of Christians that try to handle their problems that way. Whenever there's a problem, there's an issue, what do? They move, change jobs, change churches, change spouses. They just want to run away. Sometimes, you just do nothing. You freeze. You absolutely do nothing to make any difference. And some wise person said one time, when nothing changes, nothing changes. That's profound. When nothing changes, nothing changes. So if you're discouraged and you don't do anything about it, you remain discouraged. If you don't do anything about discouragement, it leads to what we call depression. I'm not a doctor, but I do know this. A person can go into some depressions that above and beyond your control. There are medical reasons. There might be some serious health reasons. But when you research it a little bit, the majority of people that ultimately wind up in depression is self-inflicted. It's self-inflicted. They've gotten discouraged about something, and it may be a sinful or non-sinful source. But they've not handled it, they've not dealt with it, and then they seep into depression. Depression is ultimately the idea of ceasing to function. A Christian could, even from a non-sinful source, get discouraged because, you know, somebody said something to hurt my feelings, and so I'll just show them I'll stay home from church. Okay? Well, you stop going to church, you're discouraged, you stop reading your Bible, you stop praying, okay? What have you done? You've allowed discouragement to cause you to go into depression where you cease to function spiritually as you ought to function. That state of depression is sinful because you've stopped functioning. And that kind of depression will lead you to what? That state of depression will lead you ultimately to death. Spiritually, if you stop serving God, and even if it was a non-sinful source, you just got discouraged, the preacher didn't speak to me. I've heard brethren say that. I've gone to visit brethren and tried to find out what they got upset about, what they're mad about, or what happened, or what discouraged them. And it might be something as simple as, well, a few Sundays ago I was there and you didn't even speak to me. Well, that's a non-sinful source, and I'm sorry, I should have spoken to you. I apologize, I'll try to do better. But then what did it do to this person? They handled it incorrectly, and it allowed them to just stop functioning as a Christian. Well, they took a non-sinful source and wound up doing something sinful. If they continue in that depression, spiritually, they die. But regardless of the source, sinful or non-sinful, if discouragement is not handled properly, it can lead to depression and it can lead to physical death. People commit suicide because they can't handle it. They can't deal with it. If you Google the idea of suicide, the United States is one of the leading countries in the world of people that commit suicide. I find that to be a little ironic. When the United States is one of the greatest countries in the world. There's freedom. There's so much riches and blessings here. And yet so many people commit suicide. When you get discouraged, you don't have to die. There is another choice. You can deal with it. You can change something. And may I say this as kindly as I know how to say this to each of us as brothers and sisters in Christ. There is no way that we can control what everybody says, what everybody does. My dear sweet wife, I finally got her to go, Brother Jeff and Martha Archer here tonight, and we went down to Honduras, and that was a major deal to get my wife to go down there. And so she goes, all right, and she and Martha and another lady or two just did an outstanding job in doing some teaching to the ladies and so forth. Well, one day, this lady there that speaks really good English, she comes up to my wife, and she says to her, she says, you know, my mother and I were talking about that when you were younger, you must have been beautiful. And my wife's pretty tough. And she just said, well, thank you. But she repeated it to me. And it hurt her feelings. I know it did. It hurt her feelings. But I'm thankful that my wife is spiritual enough that she didn't even begin to allow that to interfere with her feelings for that sister or for that work, etc. But you know, it takes far less than that sometimes for people to really get bent out of shape. You need to get over it. We need to be better than that. The devil can plant all kinds of little bombs around the way to go off, to try to discourage you and to get you out of doing God's will. You just need to get over it and not allow those kinds of things or any other non-sinful things to hurt you. If it's a sinful thing, you need to overcome it. You need to repent of that. You need to deal with that. You need to be able to, through Christ, you need to repent of that and through the blood of Christ be forgiven of that and move on. And overcoming, ultimately, will enable you to get stronger. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, one of the great texts of the Bible in this regard, the word of His grace is able to build you up. Here's how it works. James 1, verses 2 through 4. James says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. I tell you how smart God is. God is smart. And I tell you how not smart the devil is. The devil tries to destroy us by throwing all of these obstacles, temptations, trials, difficulties before us. And what the devil is trying to do is to destroy us, to kill us. But now here's where God's smart. God takes that very set of circumstances that the devil is throwing at us, and God is saying to us that those things, rather than defeat you, will make you stronger if you got your head on right. We have a choice to get better or to be bitter. Sometimes when you talk to Christians, how you doing? and it's just terrible, awful, always been awful, going to always be awful when you talk to them. And maybe that's true. Then you talk to some people that you know, they have been through it seemingly all of their lives. How you doing? I'm doing great. Now, I don't think they're lying. I don't think they're deceived about their life. I think they're making a choice. The reality of when we read Scripture, there are some people that have to go through what Job went through. And there are some people that don't. But regardless, when you go through whatever you go through, from being tempted to sin, to a trial, to losing your job, to whatever, how are you going to handle it? How are you going to deal with it? Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. It's the physiological aspect of just working out, strength training kind of thing, that the more you exercise, you tear down muscle cells, they rest up a day or two, they build back up stronger. You exercise, you tear them down, a couple days rest, they build back up stronger. It's the trampoline effect. You got to go down a little bit to get a little higher. You go down a little bit to get a little higher. Spiritually speaking, if you want to grow spiritually, God said, all right, here's how you grow. You go through these difficulties and you hang on to your faith in me and you trust in me, and these tough things, the devil's trying to kill you, these tough things will make you stronger and better, and I'll get you through it. And you have to learn to stop whining, griping, and complaining about everything that comes down the road your way. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9 is one of the prime examples of someone. It didn't go just exactly like he wanted it. But he dealt with it in a godly way. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, the Scripture says, Paul's talking about his thorn in the flesh. What was the thorn in the flesh? I have no idea. Physical, literal, whatever. I don't know. But I do know that I've gotten a thorn in the flesh before, literal. And I can tell you what the deal is. It hurts. It hurts big time. Okay? And you get a thorn in the flesh, you want it out. If you don't get it out, it can get infected. Okay? Whatever the thorn was, Paul said, I want it out. He entreated the Lord three times. He prayed to God three times. Now think about this. Paul's an apostle. He asks God to remove the thorn. What's God going to say? Well, yeah, God always does exactly what we want. God always gives us what we want, right? You haven't been reading the Bible. Because God didn't give Paul what he wanted. God always gives us what we need. The text says, verse 8, concerning this, I entreated the Lord three times that it might be departed from me. And He, that is God, said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. Do you know what that means? Paul said, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults. You see, Paul got insulted too. With distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I'm not a big power of positive thinking kind of preacher guy. But I will say to you, very sincerely. The Bible talks a whole bunch about being very positive in your thinking. Because when you're negative thinking and stinking thinking, you're going to wind up not serving the Lord. Because the devil is always going to throw at you difficulties to cause you to get mad, upset, discouraged, and quit. Are you a quitter? Are you? The devil will find out. Jesus said, few there be that find it. Few there be that keep on keeping on. How many Christians, just take Eastside for a second. How many Christians that have been a member of this body right here, say in the last 20 years, that just quit going to church from here? Just quit going. Just quit. You counted them up, and they all came in and sat down here tonight. My guess is we'd have a building full. That's true in every place. And the reason? A lot of it has to do. They can't deal with insults. They couldn't deal with the shame and the guilt of their own sin. And they quit. They no longer serve the Lord. You see, it really is a matter of choice. It's not that God is a respecter of persons in regards to any of us. I don't know why you might have to suffer a little more than I do, or vice versa. I believe in a God who is in control of all things. And that's the God I serve. He doesn't put everything on a silver platter for you. He never promised you that. He never promised that you would never suffer pain. He never promised that you wouldn't have heartache. But what He promised was that whatever you go through, if you'll keep your faith in Him, He'll get you through it. And on the other side, you'll be blessed for it. If every one of us, each and every one of us, had opportunity to stand up and to testify of our life and how bad things are, we all could do that. Now, we're just supposed to sit around and boo-hoo for one another about how bad we've had it? Is that what God wants us to do? Or does He want us to learn from our mistakes, get stronger from the trials, to be tough, and to be about His business, helping other people to get to heaven? Which is it? Jesus will help us. He said He would in Matthew 11. Remember that? Come unto me. Come to me. For all of you out there that are trying to do it on your own, for all of you out there that think you do not need God, you are so deceived. You need God. You cannot do it on your own. To fight against the devil on your own is sure defeat. Christ will help us. He will strengthen us. And we can overcome through Christ. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now that verse did not mean that if Paul wanted to jump over a 10-story building, he could do that. God's not interested in us jumping over 10-story buildings. But He is interested in us doing. God is interested in us doing what He asks us to do. And sometimes you sit down and study the Bible with people that you're trying to help to become a Christian, and you read scriptures to them, and they'll say, you know, I just can't do that. And sometimes you're studying with Christians, and this is what the Lord, I just can't do that. can't is not the issue. You can do it. But will you? When you submit to God, you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. You can stop living in adultery. You can do that. You can quit it. If you're a homosexual, you can quit it. If you're a thief, you can quit it. If you're into pornography, you can stop it. There's not any of this, I can't, in Christ. You can, in Christ, do all things that He wants you to do. And God does not want you to continue in sin. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we can overcome. We can overcome depression, even if you are just at the bottom in the valley of the shadow of death. You are there. You live there. You have a residence there. You get mail there. You can overcome that. And the word of His grace builds us up. And it's only when we get away from His word that we get in those valleys and we think we can never get out. Do you remember the Apostle Peter? He overcame, didn't he? The comparison of Peter and Judas. Judas Iscariot betrayed the Lord. A heinous crime. Question. If Judas had went to Jesus and said, "Jesus, I sinned against You. I am sorry. I want You to forgive me." What would Jesus have said? Judas took the money back. He had regret. He had shame. He was discouraged. But he only went part of the way. He did not go to Jesus who could help him overcome. He went and hanged himself. Don't you ever think for a second. Don't you ever think for a second that you're above and beyond allowing sin in your life to control you and dominate you to where you will go out and end it physically. It can happen. It can happen. But then Peter, he betrayed the Lord. After he betrayed the Lord, he was in close proximity to Jesus. Jesus turned and looked at him. Oh. I've often thought about what that look would have looked like. I don't know for sure. I doubt that it was, "I told you so." I doubt it was that. I doubt that it was a look of, I doubt it. I just really kind of think that the look of our Lord was one of sadness. Remember, He told Peter that He would deny. Peter said, "No, Lord, I'll not deny. I'll die for You." When Peter saw the look, whatever the look was, Peter went out and wept bitterly. He was so sorry for what he had done. What did Peter do about that? He just went out and cried himself, and then got into booze and started drinking and stayed drunk all the time. And so what he did? Oh, just a few days later, he's standing before thousands of people. He's preaching Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. You can overcome too. You can be Judas Iscariot. Or you can be Peter. It's a choice. In the last couple of seconds here, or minutes. Here's some very practical ways the Word of His grace builds you up. Don't ever miss a service. Do you know why the Scripture says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together is the habit of some, but exhorting one another so much more you see the day of... Do you know why God's Word says that? Because we need to go to church. We need to assemble. We need to be with each other. We need to encourage each other. Why? Because we all get discouraged. Non-sinful sources and sinful sources. And when we come together, we sing, we pray, we encourage each other, we study God's Word, we lift one another up. You can't ever miss a service. Not because the preacher says you ought to be here. And I know we say this from time to time, and we mean well. It doesn't sound great, but when we say things like, as members here, you know you're supposed to be here. You ought to be here. Well, that's true, but yet, do you know why you're here? First and foremost, to glorify and honor God, to get outside of yourself and worship God. But we need each other to encourage each other and to help each other, because if we didn't have each other and we didn't encourage each other, some of us just might go out and kill ourselves. And I hope and pray that doesn't happen to you. You need to come every time. You need to keep busy. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. You sit around, do nothing, and the devil's just going to come right in and set up residence, and he's just going to take over. You need to keep busy. Keep moving. Keep working. Keep serving. Keep yourself involved. Pray all the time. Pray without ceasing, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5. Colossians 4, verse 2, continue in prayer. Jesus said men ought always pray and not to lose heart. You need to encourage others. When you're feeling down, when you're feeling low, when you're feeling blue, you feel like everybody's against you and just things are not going right, then you need to get up and you need to go to the nursing home. You need to go to the hospital. You need to go to some of the brothers and sisters in Christ here that have some real issues. And you need to go talk to them. I tell you, you need to become buddies with the older, mature people of this church. Because when you go and sit down and talk to them, you go there to encourage them. And you talk to them for just a few short minutes until they'll kind of take over and start encouraging you. And you'll feel ashamed of yourself that you were ever discouraged to begin with. And you wind up getting more encouraged than you ever encouraged. You need to stop complaining. Have you ever read 1 Corinthians chapter 10? God destroyed thousands of the Israelites because they griped. Stop griping. Yeah, maybe it does hurt. Maybe it is painful. But don't discourage everybody else because of your pain. Stop complaining. Repent of sin immediately. Don't let it fester. Don't let it grow. Repent immediately of anything that you've done wrong. Forget the past. We've all had bad pasts, some worse than others. Paul in the book of Philippians chapter 3 he says of himself. Forgetting the things of the past, I press on toward the mark. What did Paul have to forget? What about his past? Well, he was Saul of Tarsus, remember? And as Saul of Tarsus, he was great, good friends in a position of power and authority with the Sanhedrin. And he got these letters to go to Damascus. And as it was, for a good period of time of his life, he persecuted Christians. Now, later he becomes a Christian. And Jesus appoints him as an apostle. And even the Lord himself, I'm going to show him how much he must suffer for me. And he goes out throughout Asia Minor, Greece, preaching the gospel in all these places. I just wonder if there was ever a time that Paul ever ran into a relative of someone that while he was Saul of Tarsus and persecuting the church, someone that he saw die. That must have been a stressful moment. And Paul might be really willing to forget the past and move on. But my guess is, somewhere along the line, he met someone that didn't want to let him forget who he was. And the Jews themselves were a constant reminder. They realized he was a traitor. And they were out to get him. I don't know what your past is. You may have been a drug addict. You may have been an alcoholic. You may have been a fornicator. You just may have been, you know, a liar. I don't know what you were. If I understand the Bible correctly, sin is a sin is a sin is a sin. We categorize sins. I don't think God does. Reality? We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all got a past. But to be a Christian today, you must forget the past through the grace of God and move on. Stop living in the past. And through Christ, be the kind of Christian God wants you to be. Paul did. You need to sing. I don't know what it is about singing. Singing is just, wow. It's a great invention of God. That when you sing, it just makes you feel good. And when you sing praises to God, it lifts your soul. And if you tend toward being discouraged or tend toward depression, you need to fill your mind and your heart with singing and praising God to uplift your spirit. And maybe you're driving down the road, or maybe you're at home and you're sitting in your chair and you're just down and out. If you will start singing simple songs of I'm happy today, oh yes, I'm happy today. Whatever the song is, there may be tears flowing down your face. But if you'll sing, think about God. Think about how He's blessed you. It'll lift you up. Read God's Word every day. And now I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up. Read this book. A dear friend of mine, I'm not sure she's here tonight. Maybe. Yes, she's here, and I won't embarrass her as to who she is. She's a very sweet lady. Dear Christian lady. And I never really ever thought about this before. I encourage people to read the Bible all the time. I think that's so very, very important. She talked to me a little bit, well, in a note, about writing out the Word of God. Just copying it. And she said it was such a relief to her, such therapy for her, such encouragement to her. Just take the Bible and just start copying down the words. And she's copied the whole Bible. It took her a little while to do that. But it makes you focus. Makes you concentrate. God talking to you. And if you ever, ever get to the point where you stop listening to God, you're going to die. Let God talk to you every day. And He will build you up. Casting all your anxiety and your cares upon Him because He cares for you. He really does. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Are you discouraged? Are you depressed? What are you going to do about it? You just going to let the devil whip you? Or through your faith in Jesus Christ, are you going to overcome? It's a choice. I can't make you do it. You have to make that decision for yourself. Now, we're going to sing a song of encouragement for anyone that needs to render obedience unto the Lord. That invitation is from God to any and all of us. We can't make you come up this aisle. If it would do any good, if it would help anyone spiritually to save their soul, I would bring from home, I've got a .44 Magnum pistol. It is huge, it is powerful, it will blow a hole through that wall. I would bring that gun loaded, and I would walk down the aisle and find whoever needs to come to the Lord. You're coming today. And just walk you right up here. If you need to be baptized, get in. But now you know that don't work. Even if I did that, it wouldn't work. Because you have to make up your own mind, your own heart. As I can see in the audience, there's nobody with a gun holding you back either. Everything's ready. God is waiting. Will you come? Together we stand and sing.